Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom, saints. It's a blessing to be sharing with you, not just those who are tuning in, not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those tuning in on iChurch. I'm excited about where we're at in this month of Elul, which means search. I keep on saying, why do you keep on saying that? Because it's important. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop playing church. It's too much at stake to play. You don't play with important stuff in your life, do you? This is your life. So we're talking about spiritual architecture and design for life. This is what we do. This is, we know that there's no one that can make our life what it needs to be but Yahweh. Nobody can do it. Some of us have tried for many years to build our life the way we thought it should be built. And how has that worked out for you? So the importance of what we're doing is we're trusting him with our life. Go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and the 10th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. So it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua, unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so the importance of what we're talking about, spiritual design and architecture, is we need an architect for our life. And in that architectural process, you need a foundation. You need a plan for building. You cannot approach building, even things in the natural, without a plan, without instructions. See, some of you think that you're so intelligent that you'll get something that says assembly required, and you will throw away the instructions because you say, I got this. At the end of the process, something don't work right. What I found is there's a bunch of stuff left over. Like, there's still like a bunch of extra screws. And I found out that I was supposed to put a screw in before I had put another piece together. So that thing is wobbling and doing stuff it's not supposed to. Why? Because I did not follow the plan. I had my own idea. And so what we're saying, our life is no different than that. Sometimes we just got this idea that, you know, we're going to do all this stuff and we're going to do it without God, without Yahweh in our life. And then somewhere along the way, we discover that we can't do it without him. My grandmother, mom's mom, she did not find out she needed him until she was 75 years old. And in that recollection, she lived to be 108. Come on. But some of us not, we need to get it together before that. That was Yahweh's grace and mercy. She had apostle praying for her, my mom praying. But we don't want to find out too late. Tell your neighbor, we need to get this as soon as possible. So go to Nehemiah, or if you're a Hebrew scholar, Nehemiah. You say, oh, my life is so perfect. You know what I mean? That's not much I need to fix. Stop. None of us have got this thing all figured out. I had a conversation with Apostle. Apostle, how are you? 81 years old. I asked him, do you know everything? And he said, what you tell me? He don't know half of what he'd like to know. And then the answer the other day was, you know, well, the older I get, the less I realize, the more I realize how much I don't know. That's why we got to rely on Yahweh. And so his people were in a situation where they were not listening to him. And so in Nehemiah, the second chapter, we find that they have kind of been brought back to their homeland, but their homeland is in ruins. They didn't do what they were supposed to do in the beginning, and now, you know, they've kind of been restored back, but everything is a mess. And so in the seventh, I believe it's the 17th verse of Nehemiah, the second chapter, or Nehemiah. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, it's a mess, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach, that we be no more in shame, that we be no more in shambles, that we be no more in disarray. And sometimes we got to look at our life and saying, there's pieces of my life that are in disarray. There's stuff in my life that's shambles. Look at it this way. Some of us, we're saved and we got the gospel, but then our families are like messed up. They're dysfunctional. We're not talking. Hello? Do you talk to all your family members? Are you? Are you on an island somewhere yourself? And then that means that something's not right. You saved, but what about them? You may be the only opportunity for salvation in your family. And if you cut them off and don't talk to them and don't make attempts, you think it's just gonna happen? Sometimes there's a point that we gotta stop talking about the kingdom and be about the kingdom. Be kingdom. Kingdom is forgiving. Kingdom is showing love. Kingdom is trying to get people into the gospel. See the lost saved. But a lot of times we can't even minister to other people because we can't even minister our own family members. Uh-oh. So you got some stuff to work on. But we've got to get ourselves together for him to use us. Go to Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, sixth verse. So I love this. It's so appropriate. We're in this month of rebuilding, of searching and rebuilding and discovering what we need to do. But we have to want it. We have to acknowledge what needs to be built or what needs to be rebuilt. So Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, sixth verse says, so built we the wall. It's a community effort sometimes. Sometimes I need to look at what's going on with y'all, and that helps me understand that I can get through the stuff that I need to work out. Tell your neighbor it's a community effort. Because then I hear your testimony, or I see you overcome an obstacle, and you share that, and I'm like, whoa. Well, if he did that for them, he'll do the same thing for me. When somebody gives a testimony, you should say, I'm next. Tell your neighbor, we next. You gotta say it like you really mean it. We next. I'm gonna grab hold of that thing. So it's a community effort. We built we the wall. So we are gonna help each other build back up the things that need to be rebuilt. And so, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind. Tell yourself, they wanted it. They wanted it to see rebuilt. So you have to want it. He can't force nothing on you. Sometimes in a lot of instances, I wish he would. I'd be like, Robert, force them. Get that thing right. But he can't do it. Like we were talking about Wednesday night, there's spiritual laws that even he has to abide by. A person has to want it. They have what? Free will. He can't override your will. Deliverance is there, but if you don't want it, you will never get it. So say, I have to have a mind to work. I have to have a mind to work. See, you're the only one that knows what's going on in your life. I mean, we see some remnants of your stuff, but you are the only one who knows what's really going on inside. I just see the outside. I see the smile. My dentist told me, true story, how many teeth do you have in your mouth? Any dental people out here? 32. I'm giving you something that you can use later. So, well, you're supposed to have 32. That's what it's supposed to be. But he said, dentists call, when you smile, the public six. The public six. So there are six teeth that will allow you, as long as you got them, you'll look like you got a full mouth. I said, the public six? He says, yeah, because when you smile, your lower lip covers the bottom row, and you just have the public six. But if you really open up that mouth beyond the public six, you really know what's going on. So, therefore, I'm telling y'all, some of y'all need to know this. Take care of your public six. You might have all manner going on in the back molars, but somebody got something going on. It's that veneer. It's like sometimes I just see the public six. But if I really sold you to say, I would see all, God, me included. I got a pretty good public six. But if y'all knew what was really going on back there. But you guys have to go beyond the public six. I can't. You know what's happening back there. So that's your life. But a lot of times we go through life showing the public six. But we never get down to what's really going on. And so the people had a mind, I have to want it. And so we saw in Acts, the 17th chapter, that why is this so urgent? And in the 17th chapter of Acts, the 30th verse, really quickly, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but it said, in the times of ignorance, God winked at. So in the times of ignorance where you acted like you didn't know or you didn't know, he winked at it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And I told you last week that repentance is not saying I'm sorry, just saying I'm sorry. It goes deeper than that. Repent means metanoeo. Say metanoeo. That is a Greek word for repent, and it means to think differently. It means to reconsider. It means to change one's mind and direction, for to change for better and amend the past sins. So do we really just say I'm sorry, or do we metanoeo? Which means I got to be different. Not only do I have to be different, I got to think different. I have to change my direction. I was going in one direction, but I have to stop and do an about face, turn back around, and go back in the right direction. To change for better, not for worse. Some people, I change. No, not for better. You change for the worse. True repentance means we change for the better. Go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew 7, or Matityahu 7. You need to know this. So this is all a part of us examining ourselves. Say, I have to examine myself. That's what it's about. For before I have a mind to work, I got to use that mind and what's really going on in me. What's going on in my life? And so we found out last week that there are two ways of building on the foundation. And before I say this, while you're turning to Matthew 7, in the Hebrew foundation, the word foundation is yesod. Say yesod. You may see ha yesod. That's H-A. Ha yesod means the foundation. And that means a footing, a base, a substructure, an underpinning structure, an underlying basis or principle, a fact that provides support for something. Spiritually, our foundation is based on principles. And where do you think the principles come from? The Word. We're standing on the principles. Our foundation is what the Word says our foundation should be. Our foundation is a rock. Our foundation is the truth. The truth in Hebrew is emet. Right? And that is Yahweh's true word. That's everything that he says. We have to stand on that. We used to sing a song back in the old church days. Standing on the promises. Who remembers that? We're standing on what? And his promises are a sure foundation. What are his promises? Everything we find in his word. Everything that he says in his word is his promises, his principles. So therefore, we have to build our life on principles. We have to build our life on a foundation, an underpinning structure that is sure. And so we have two different types of foundation here in Matthew. So we go Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse, and it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine is his word. Hello, these sayings of mine is his principle. These sayings of his is his promises. So he says, therefore, whoever hears my sayings, my word, my foundational principles, and does them. Tell your neighbor, hearing ain't good enough. Tell the neighbor, we got to do it. Because remember, we're building up a wall. I need some encouragement. Am I the only one working on my life? Pastor, you got to work on your life. Heavens, yes. I must work on my life too. Why? Because do you know I can't just like fix my life and then the next day not work on it? Come on now. Because there might be something to come in the next day. For some of us, something comes in the next hour.
if we don't deal with it, then it's messing up our foundation. So I got to work on this every day. The word says you have to have your mind what? Renewed. Every day. If you don't need your mind renewed every day, I need to talk to you. I want to know what you're doing. Because every day, this flesh be like, ooh. Serious. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you come up with some crazy thoughts. My God. And the thing about it is that we will not even be delivered from this old wretched body until we go on with him. But the beauty is that he's giving us these principles that we can walk in victory every day. Every day is a victory day. Every day is a W. Every day. And even though that L tries to come in, by the end of the day, you should have got your W. Somebody didn't get that. What's the L? The enemy tries to come in and give us a loss. But I declare, I decree in the name of Yeshua, I walk in victory every day. I'm going to get my W. I'm going to get my W. Can I do that? Somebody said, don't do it. So he says, whoever hears and does my principles, my foundational principles, say the foundation are Yahweh's principles. That's the problem with a lot of us. We don't have no principles. Well, you know, because I tell you why, you know, you ain't got no principle, because you single. You don't have no kids, but then on your taxes, you claiming three. You ain't got no, you're not standing on principles. On your resume, you said that you worked at ABC Corp, but ABC Corp don't exist. You said that you was a manager, but you never managed anything but your cube. I'm sorry, Carol. So you're not standing on principles. Why is it getting quiet? See, that means that you're building your house on sand. There were two people here. There was a rock person and a sand person. When you are a liar in the kingdom, you're not walking in kingdom principles, so therefore that's sand. It's not a rock. See, you keep on lying. Ooh, one good day. That lie gonna catch, what's gonna catch up? There was somebody that was in one of the, I think it was somebody that was brought into the Trump organization or something, and they found out that his dissertation or whatever was plagiarized. But he had got away with it all these years. But see, what happens is when you get into higher places, they dig deep. There was one guy who was really, he was a preacher guy. I think he had a church. And he was really saying, yeah, yeah. You know, he made himself real visible. So the reporters, they went on his website and he had said he had graduated from this university. He was in this fraternity and all this. And so then they interviewed him and they said, sir, the fraternity that you said you went to, they say that they've never heard of you before. And then we went to the school, but they said that you took a couple of classes, but you never graduated. But he said that he had graduated. So it showed us here in Matthew that there was two foundations. Let me read the bad one first. 27th verse, 7:27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. This is the sand person. And it fell, and great. Somebody said it fell hard. Dude built his thing up on sand. You're no different. A lot of you just think because you save, you know, you think that save is a badge for you to get away with stuff. Absolutely not. God got my back. He ain't got your back when you a liar, dude. It says he hates sin. I know, contrary to popular belief, a lie is sin. And we're talking about Wednesday. If you leave something out, a vital part of something that you should have included as the truth, and you leave that out, and you want to color it like it's a different situation, that's called a lie of omission. That means when you omit stuff purposely to deceive, that means that is a big fat lie. Cricket, 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 cricket. Did you hear that? Did you hear how quiet that was? So when you build your foundation on lies and sand and sin and deceit, it's going to hold up for a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, it's going to fall. And great will be the fall of it. But hallelujah, we have an option. And the option is to build it on a rock. Same storm came. Same storm. Tell your neighbor, same storm. And the 25th verse says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house too. But it fell not, because it was founded on a rock. So Yeshua, Yahweh's word, is the foundation. Tell your neighbor, he's a rock. Tell him again, that sounds strong. Say, he's a rock. Hallelujah. So go to 1 Corinthians. He's a rock. And somebody say, he's a rock in a weary land. Wow. Yeah, because this is weary land. This is some scandalous stuff that's going on, man. We got to have a rock. Are y'all built on a rock? This is a beauty. This is why we're teaching this. Because if you're not built on a rock, we can get it right. Boy, we going to get your foundation rock solid. Solid as a rock. We going to get you rock steady. Steady rocking. All right. Love it. So 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse says, for we are laborers together with Yahweh. Ye are Yahweh's husbandry. That means he's bound to you. It's a relationship. We are Yahweh's building. Did you know you are Yahweh's building? Say, I'm Yahweh's building. So 10, according to the grace of Yahweh, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth, or she build. Ladies, any ladies in the house? Yep. It's ladies' day. Where the sisters at? Holla. Okay. You building stuff too. I gotta, you know, I'm always asking for the kings, but the ladies, you know, you building stuff too. You building your life. And so he says, you have to take heed how you build it. 11, for other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is Yeshua Mashiach. So say there's no other foundation. And this lines up with the other verse because on principles, Yeshua is the living logos. What is the living logos? That's the living word. Yeshua is the word. So the foundation that you should want to lay is a foundation of principles, is a foundation of Yeshua, Yahweh's word. That is what we want to lay it on. And it says there's no other foundation. 12th verse. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What are those foundations? Some people build their foundation on money, fame, status, wood, hay, stubble. 13th, every man's work will be made manifest, for a day is coming, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. Now, we talked about flood in the other one, and this scripture is saying fire is coming. It's going to be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So if it's wood and hay and stubble, guess what? It's burning up. 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of Yahweh? Him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of Yahweh is holy. Which temple ye are, or transcribes, which temple are you? Say it, what temple am I? And then the 18th verse comes back real hard, and it says, let no man deceive himself. Somebody say woman. Don't let a woman deceive herself. Don't let a man deceive himself. If any man or woman among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that taketh the wise in their own craftiness. See, why some of y'all think that you, before you got saved, you was a con artist. You could con your way into anything. You could con people. You could con businesses. You could con whatever you was trying to con. And you conned good. You were an artist. See, you weren't just a con person. You were a con artist. But when you came into the kingdom, you were supposed to let go of that con artistry and let Yahweh be the master builder of your life. But some of you, you brought that con artistry into the kingdom. So now you are kingdom con. But guess what? It shall be revealed. By water, storm, tell your neighbor, or by fire. See, I want to test this thing out myself before the storm comes. I want to test this thing out myself. I want to examine myself before the fire come. Because fire's coming. Tell your neighbor, fire is coming. Tell your neighbor, storm is coming. Isn't that crazy? Somebody say it's crazy, but it's real. Okay, I want to take you to what's at stake. Can we get that up on the board real quick? What's at stake? The kingdom is at stake. If you don't get this right, if you don't get your foundation right, the kingdom is at stake. If you don't get this right, your life is at stake. Your health is at stake. Your family is at stake. Say, I got to get this right. The church is at stake. Your future is at stake. Your destiny, your purpose, your knowledge, your foundation, your mind, your thinking, your skills, your character, your integrity, and your finances. You stand to lose a lot. So tell your neighbor, we got to get it right. So go here. Go to Genesis really quickly. I need to give you this. So Yahweh, in his creation, this is one of the last things I'm going to share with you. He was about fed up with y'all in Genesis chapter 6. He was fed up. He's like, I didn't create man for sin. I didn't create man for degradation. People were living, supposed to live like, I thought, well, live forever, but then what happened was that sin came in. So then the life expectancy was like 1,000 years. I believe Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Adam lived to be 939. That's old. But guess what? The life expectancy kept decreasing because more and more sin. More sin, less years. Did you know that sin could cut your life expectancy? We all know this. Sonny, help me out. Alcohol can cut your life expectancy. Drugs, right? Cut your life expectancy. Stress and anxiety. I ain't taking no drugs. I ain't drinking. But you worrying. Worrying can create even cancer. Your body was not meant to carry and deal with all that. You were built to put your cares upon him. You were built to live for him. You were built to be in his atmosphere. That's what you were built for. But then you allow your body to become subject to the law of sin and death. It's a death sentence. So all these people were letting sin rule and reign in their life. So mankind was a mess. And Yahweh was like, I'm done. I'm about to send some water. I'm about to send the flood. And I'm getting rid of all y'all. That's what he said. In my synopsis, he was like, I'm done with y'all. Mankind is whack. I'm going to destroy this and I'm starting all over again. Basically. And so, Noah said, no, don't do it. Don't kill him, God. Yahweh, don't do it. Can we talk? Can I just find? So he said, okay. I see you want to survive. I see you want to do the right thing. I got instructions for you then. The only way out is to follow my instruction. He said, you want a way out? Noah said, yeah, I want a way out. You want to save your life? He said, yeah, I want to save my life. Follow my instructions to the T. So Genesis 6:14 says, make an ark. What? What is that? There was never a need for an ark because there was never water like that. There was never a such thing as rain. But y'all would say, dude, I'm kind of cut you a deal. I'm about to get rid of this thing. The only way out for you is to follow instruction. What is an ark? I'm about to tell you. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Somebody say teak. Teak wood. Teak had a buoyancy. There was a lot of different woods. There was red wood. There was pine. There was walnut. Give me some more. Oak. Cherry wood. Mahogany. He said, I know there's a lot of woods, but there's one particular wood that you better use. Don't use no other wood. But teak, go for wood. Build rooms. He says, rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Rooms, what you mean? I said, make rooms. And you shall pitch it within, on the inside. And you better pitch it on the outside. Well, God, why can't I just pitch it on the outside? No. What I say. There is a reason why you need to pitch that thing on the inside and on the outside. I'm about to send something you ain't never seen before, but I can't even describe it to you. So just follow my instructions. Just shut up and pitch it. See, this is what y'all do. You ask questions. God tells you to do something. Yahweh tells, he gives you instructions, and you say, well, why come? Fifteenth. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Somebody say 450 feet long. See, now, y'all be like, cubits? 450 feet long. Well, why I gotta make it that long? I said, 450. How many of you understand we serve a God who's a God of detail? So, Brittany and I were just talking earlier. We were talking about Elul. And we were saying, isn't it just amazing how the first day of Elul, the eclipse happened? First day. Elul the first. Sun covered. But let me tell you about the detail. The moon is 2,165, I think, miles in diameter. It is the perfect size to fit over the corona of the sun. It's not too, if it was smaller, you wouldn't have the eclipse. If it was larger, everything would be off. The moon is the perfect distance away from the earth for the seasons and the tides and all of the things to happen. Did that happen from a big bang, or did that happen from a God that knows the details? If the earth was an inch off of its axis, it would spin out of control. The heavens and the earth were created by a God who knows the details. You were created by a God that has the plans and knows the details. He has a life that is already planned and laid out for you. And all you have to do is just follow his instructions, follow his plan, and let him work it out for you. And if I serve a God that knows how wide the moon should be, surely he knows what to do with my life. I can trust him with it.
do y'all think that you know better than he does? And he created this thing from the very beginning, and he knows the very end of it. Yet you say, I'm more wise than you, God. I know. I didn't say that. That's the way you live in. You living like you got this thing all wrapped. You know better. I don't need to follow his instructions. Did you know if Noah did not follow these instructions to the T, he would be dead? I wanted 450 feet long, the breadth of it. I wanted 75 feet wide, the height of it, 30 cubits or 45 feet high. That's too tall. I ain't never seen nothing. Build at 45. 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark. And it's make an 18-inch window. Well, don't you think we should have a panorama? Dude. You need a window. Because how would you know when this thing needs to be wrapped up? Just put the window in. And the door shall set in the side thereof. With the lower and a second and third story shalt thou make it. Make it three stories. Well, hey, let's go. Why can't I do five stories? I said three stories. What do we know about three? What do you know about three? What about three? What's seven? Huh? Complete number, right? Seven is complete. Eight is new beginnings. Three, what's that? What's three? Perfect? He has a reason. Why does he do it in the way he does it? He has a pattern. He has a design. Why was Yeshua in the grave for 3 days? It was his design. It was foretold that he would be what? In the grave for what? If we serve a God of detail, and it's 3 days and three nights, and if it happened on a Wednesday, then how are you doing Good Friday? That doesn't equal. Ain't no Good Friday. From Wednesday to the next day, 6 p.m. Thursday was one day. Thursday to the, it was Friday. Friday to the Saturday, and basically it was that morning that he what? That he what? Rose. That was it. Why? Because we serve a God that knows every detail. Do you want to succeed?
Come on.
Follow the plan. You want to live? Follow the plan. Follow the details. You want to survive? We are in, and I'm done. We are in a modern day ark situation. Let me say that again. Don't you know that the latter days is going to be days of destruction? Yeshua is soon to come. When we see all of the signs and things going on, flood and fire are coming. You see this storm? And we're praying for everybody in Houston, in Texas, and everybody that's affected by this. But do you know that this storm
is like the biggest ever. There's never been any storm as big as this. Do you know that an ice cap just broke off the size of a whole state? State of what? It's like the state of Maine. It was a huge chunk. Never before in history has that been happening. Earthquakes in diverse places. North Korea done lost their mind. Wars and rumors of wars. They just tested a hydrogen bomb. They shoot missiles. You don't know what's going on. There's never been a time like this before, but he said it was going to be like this. It's time for us to start building the ark spiritually. We got to start building this foundation. We got to start walking this walk like he says, walk it. We got to start living this life like he says, live it. We have to be these examples that he says we're supposed to be. We don't have time for doing this. Okay, let's stop going around the same. Some of us are in the wilderness. We've been going around the same thing for all these years. It's time for the people of Yahweh to rise up and be those people that he's calling for in these days. Stop not having your victory. Walk in your authority. Walk in your power. Live this life. Live this life that he's instructed us to live. There are people out there hurting. There are people out there dying, and they need us to step up. He's trying to take us to a higher place. But you've got to say, I want to go higher. Say it, I want to go higher. I want to go higher. I'm willing to follow your instructions. I'm willing to follow your word. I'm willing to walk in your authority and power that you've given us. I'm willing to be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Hey, Sean. I'm willing to follow you, Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Surrendering, surrender, surrender, surrender. We can't make it without you. We need you. We need your instruction. We need your word. We need your guidance. We need your spirit. We need your power. Need it. If we have taken the word lightly, if we have not been obedient, we have not followed your instructions, if we've leaned to our own understanding, forgive us. You already told us to lean not to our own understanding, but to trust you and depend on you. So right now, Father, we submit to the process. We submit to the process of restoration. We submit to the process of building and rebuilding. Hallelujah. We submit to the process of renovation. We submit to the process of following your word. Shape us, make us, mold us. Help us. Father, we give it to you. We know you are the great master builder, the great architect, the great designer for our life. So we trust you. Help us understand. Those of us that are in the faith, Father, help us understand more so that we move higher. Those that are seeking, Father, lead them, guide them to a relationship with you, Father. A daily walk. We give you glory and honor and praise. We trust you. We love you. We thank you for your grace, mercy, and love that you extend to us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. But in times of ignorance, you winked at it, but now you're saying every man needs to repent, stand up. Every woman needs to repent, stand up, and really live this life the way you have designed it. So we yield to you. Help us, reveal to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated and keep your head bowed. I must say one more thing before I leave. I would be remiss if I did not do this.